Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Jamie Ashton, and Jamie is the owner of Humboldt Beer Works, but now he's got this new venture happening, Humboldt Cider Company. Who are your partners, and how did you guys meet up and decide this was a good thing to do?
When Humboldt Beer Works was on 6th Street, Darren, my partner in the cider company, opened up the local beer bar around the corner. So being a beer guy, I was excited about that, and I would pop around the corner quite a bit and check out what he had on tap. So we became friends that way. And year and a half ago, he started talking about wanting to open a local hard cider company. Because of my background in fermenting things at home for so long, it just seemed like a good fit.
Had you fermented hard cider before, just kind of in your home, just to try it out?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've been doing beer and cider at home for about 10 years.
Oh, okay. That's a lot of experience doing it.
Right.
Yeah. So you guys are located down at Redwood Acres.
That's right.
How's that site working out for you?
It's been tremendous. I don't think we could have done it the way we've done it or as quickly as we've done it anywhere else. They help. They have some maintenance guys and construction guys on site that are always around to help us with whatever we need. And they totally retrofitted the building for us, knocked down some walls, put in drains for sinks, and helped us retrofit the drains that were actually there. It's an old milk barn. A long time ago, they used to milk cows in there.
Oh, okay. Nice big open space then.
Yeah, it's not as big as you would think when you hear the word barn, but it's big enough. We have some room for growth.
Let's talk about hard cider making. What types of apples are best for hard cider making?
Traditionally, there are varieties like Dabinet and Virginia Hughes Crab and Cox's Orange Pippin, which are more English cider varieties. Some of them are okay for eating. Some of them you wouldn't want to eat because they're too bitter or they're too acidic. So typically those kind of apples give you more character. The apples we eat and grow in the United States for the most part are mostly grown for their sugar and to some extent their flavor, but really they're just trying to pack in the sugar as right. much as possible. But there are some, you know, we're making some single varietal Macintosh right now and some single varietal Jonathan. And those are considered eating apples, but we've been able to use those as single varietals and make a pretty good cider.
How far are you going to have to go to get the apples to make the cider once you guys get really up in full production?
Well, another nice thing about being at Redwood Acres is they're really open to us growing there.
Okay.
And we've proposed to them that we plant a 3-acre plot of land with very specific varieties of cider apples. And so we're still waiting to find out from the board if that's something they want to go forward with. But that would be ideal because we wouldn't, you know, have to go anywhere. And 3 acres is maybe not enough for us when we're really big or if we become really big, but it would keep us busy for years and years. Otherwise, we've been getting apples down in near Boonville at a orchard called Gallon Family Orchards. We also picked some this year from what used to be Arrington Apples and is now Mitchell Grove. And then people kind of just come out of the woodwork and say, hey, I've got this big tree in my backyard. Are you guys interested in the apples? And we'll either pick them or they'll give us a couple boxes. So
it seems like it might be a difficult thing to develop a product that's really consistent.
Yeah, that's true. But like craft beer, people are very receptive to not having the same thing all the time and get excited about, oh, this is something different. We probably will, by the time we start bottling, try and come up with some consistent house ciders, either by trying to adjust acidity or tannin levels or trying to find a consistent juice if we can.
Mm-hmm. Hard cider, you know, has kind of an interesting history in this country. People used to drink cider because water, you couldn't. It was a real problem. So
right.
There was like a lot of people. I mean, the whole Johnny Appleseed thing came right. from, you know, somebody was trying to propagate apples to make hard cider mm-hmm. with. But then that kind of dropped off during Prohibition. And just now seems like there's a resurgence of, you know, hard cider manufacturers.
Right. Yeah, it is growing quite a bit. Kind of following the trends of the craft beer movement. And there are people now becoming more interested in going back to the old varieties of apples because, like you said, in Johnny Appleseed's time, those weren't eating apples. And most people cooked with them, but the majority of uses for those apples was for cider.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, they were more like wild bushes than trees.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, it was back in the day when people were planting the seeds of the apples, which aren't true to the varieties.
Right.
And so you get just kind of a mishmash of different shaped bushes and lots of different flavors of apples on
right.
there. And what's the process for making hard cider? Do you pasteurize the apple juice first before you make the cider?
We don't pasteurize or heat pasteurize. Mm-hmm. We use sulfites.
Oh, okay.
And basically that's just to knock out the spoilage organisms, because if you don't either heat pasteurize or use sulfites, there are bacteria in there that's going to give it a really short shelf life and can cause some pretty funky flavors, which a lot of people don't like. Some people do. But so the heat pasteurizing has issues with it. You can lose some volatile flavor and aroma compounds. And then also it kind of activates the pectins and makes it real sticky and gummy.
Right. And not as transparent.
Right.
Seems like. Yep. Yeah. And then you actually pitch the yeast, just like in beer brewing, that you actually put the yeast into it to make that happen. You're not using wild yeast that
right.
is around everywhere.
Right. We will probably do some wild ciders. But anyway, we press the apples like we're doing today. We put it in a fermenter. We add our sulfites and then we wait about 12 to 24 hours. We pitch our yeast. That gets started. And then we monitor the fermentation and adds nutrients along the way to keep the yeast happy and healthy. If they get stressed out, they start off-gassing H2S, which kind of smells like rotten eggs.
Yeah.
So I give them little bits of nutrients along the way and keeps them happy and keeps them from doing that.
Uh-huh. Well, this is great. This is interesting talking about the hard cider business coming back to Humboldt County. It's Humboldt Cider Company. It's actually at Redwood Acres right now. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Jamie Ashton. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Thanks for having me.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.